impression. Every time I'm like, Freddy Fazbear's gonna get me.
Oh my god.
That's good, that's good.
That was pretty funny.
Literally, he's a bear, and he's like all up in my face, and he sounds like an animatronic.
Yeah,
his face is a new game.
Is it scary?
I don't know. I only played the first two games ever. I don't know about the new ones.
Dude, I loved playing fucking Five Nights at Freddy's with Mariah. When Mariah would leave, I would get like basically beat by my mom for being loud when I was told not to be loud while she was doing her homework.
Oh my god.
Do you remember that, Kenzie?
Yeah, I didn't like that game because you just sat in the chair and you just waited for them
to get you. You don't understand, though, Kinsey. Once you get past the first night, it gets so intense. And then once you fuck up and you get that fucking bunny after your ass.
Or that fox.
That's what I meant, the fox. Foxy, bro, also, you peep at Foxy's camera. This is him behind the curtain. He like...
Oh, I don't like that.
And then he's like... Oh.
Look, there's a hole in my shirt.
Laugh at Mariah when she'd have the controller, but when it was in my hands, I was screaming. That's why.
This is why we started playing, because I told Kaylin after we were looking for another scary game, you know, because we had just Little Nightmares. I said, there is no way Five Nights at Freddy is that scary. Difficult? Sure. Scary? No. And Kaylin and I sat down determined to play this game.
Dude. Who was the only person on Mariah's last birthday who did not put the VR on?
Mariah.
She did. I did not. I watched y'all play and I laughed.
The moment that VR got on me and I felt like I was in the damn church, I was like, oh god.
It was bad. I didn't think that
VR did better than I did. And usually I'm less scared in horror games. I don't know why Mariah. I think she had a drive to survive.
Kinsey, that was the second time I played it, and I was still scared.
Y'all kept making Colin finish it for you.
Yep.
Well, one, I didn't really understand the VR stuff, so I felt extra scared because since I didn't know the buttons that well, like if I got caught or if somebody came out of nowhere, I genuinely didn't know how to run away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first game you really couldn't get caught. You were just doing the motions. It's okay. I watched Colin play the next two levels and it was still scary. And then next time when he sets it back up, I'm going to make him do the last level.
I kind of try it again, but I'm afraid that I'm going to have a mental breakdown again because I fell to my knees because of how scared I was.
You think they have VR Animal Crossing?
That'd be amazing.
Dude, that would be like heaven.
Just imagine.
I would never leave.
But imagine you're hold on. Picture this though. You're, like, trying to catch a butterfly, right? And, like, you're sneaking up on it. You catch it, and you put it in your pocket. You turn around, and your most annoying villager is, like, standing right behind you, trying to, like, give you an emote.
Like, this, like, in the screen, like, their face is, like, fish bullet, you know?
Or that fucking bunny. The Easter bunny.
Oh,
he's
my
just
God.
In the distance, like, doing his little bunny hop.
I've never
if
seen
Animal
that
Crossing was real, and I really did have my island, I would ban him from the island. I would ban him and that fuck-ass bird that always falls onto your island.
Oh, yeah, because get yourself together, girl. Like
there's a reason why they kick you off the fucking boat, dude.
She's like the embarrassing girl at the club that's getting too drunk, and it's like, you gotta go.
And then when I would come to your island, if they were there, I'd be even more mad.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Do you want me to
I already requested. No, I have sausage in my mouth. Hold on. You're listening to Post.
It's Kaylin's week. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You're listening to Post Credit Depression, where we discuss this week's current hyperfixation. My name is Kaylin. I'm eating breakfast.
My name's Mariah, and my fun fact is the cats started walking on their own.
Aww.
My name's Kinsey, and my fun fact is that I finally got a vanity after like a year of looking for one on Facebook Market.
Golf clap. And today we're going to be talking about Dress to Impress.
That was wild.
I think we definitely have to review that at some point because you guys are making me laugh with that shit. And I told Corey that he needs to play that with Colin, and that you guys, we have to like judge their outfits.
Dude, Mariah and I are already gonna make a server. Like, we're gonna pay 100 Robux to have a server so that we can have a private, like, you know, sesh.
But it's funnier when people are around.
Just for Kaylin to farm, like, fucking monies.
You guys don't have to participate in the farming, but that's the only way you get cool outfits, so I gotta go farm stars. For perspective, I'm at 1,500 stars for playing for about a week. You need 25,000 to get the big pretty dress, so I'm gonna be farming.
25,000? Okay, but how hard is it?
This is a game for kids, and they're supposed to have fun and play and get the dress as they want, and the adults in the world have ruined it.
They have.
I know. They make it so not fun for me.
What about the 10-year-olds, Kaylin, that can't get on Discord to farm their stuff? What about those kids?
I was once that kid. At home. You have Little's Pet Shop already at home.
I was obsessed with Farmville, and the only way you could enjoy Farmville is if you spent real human money, and I think I spent like $500 on that game at the age of 11, which, considering $500 was worth so much more than it is now, like, that's quite embarrassing.
I spent money on the Kim Kardashian game.
Really?
Oh my gosh, Mariah. Wow, you helping put food on North's platter. I almost said North Coast.
Nah, that game's deleted.
There are children... Yeah, there are children in this Roblox game who beg for VIP, and my perspective on it is, like, kids have to go do without, like, for a certain extent. Now, they should still get...
guys?
It's the room you can't get into unless you have VIP. It's where the angel wings are and a bunch of other really cool dresses and shoes, but it's, like, this magical room you can't walk into. But there's still plenty of options in the rest of the room for you to win. In fact, I think that some people who, like, rely on VIP too much, it's like, you can't really, like, win that way. You gotta have other fits. But I just think it's funny because, I don't know. I think it's a rite of passage that a kid has to just, like, almost think outside the box, like, alright, if I use my birthday money and I wait, I can get VIP and I can do this. Like, they need to think like that. Otherwise, they're gonna be a Nepo baby, just like North.
They don't understand what we went through with Club Penguin.
Yeah, dude, you couldn't just get, like, the cool color puffles. You had to, like, work for it. Or the cool decor in the bedroom. I had a pretty pimped out crib, Kinsey, I'm not gonna lie. And I worked hard for it as a kid.
You needed money for Club Penguin, bro. You needed money to really succeed in that bitch.
You did, actually. So that's
my dad paid for Club Penguin VIP.
Bro, I didn't have Club Penguin VIP. I had an empty igloo.
I had the one puff that they give you for free.
Me too. And I was like,
hey, red or the blue one?
Uh-huh. I had the blue one.
We're eating cardboard for dinner tonight. Like, that was me and Club Penguin.
I had a pink one.
Wow.
I don't even want to hear it, bro. My family's not buying shit for me that had to do with that stuff.
Any sort of microcurrencies.
If I could go back, I would ask my parents to play for money for me to succeed at Toontown.
Mm-hmm.
I would lie that I needed money for school, and then I would use it on the
How did you put it on the online, though?
I went and bought a card at the store.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know those existed when I was a kid.
Ooh.
I think what's fucked up, and I'm not gonna name names, but Kinsey knows relatives who literally have their parents' credit card on Fortnite, like, and unsupervised. They just, like, click and buy. Yeah. And I've seen, personally, my brothers, they kind of do, like, a birthday money sort of situation. Like, they usually get a bunch for their birthday. But they'll literally accumulate between grandparents, aunts, you know, fucking mom and dad, like, everybody, at least $100 in Robux. I'm not even kidding. They'll accumulate that amount and the quickness that they spend that. And I'm like, dude, if an EMP blast were to come from the sun and kill all internet, like, all that money's gone. All that value.
I think about Genshin and I get really nervous.
Kids over here being the Roblox.
Just pull the plug on Genshin tomorrow.
Fortnite could too. You would not
be ending or nothing.
I'd have to print out every character so that I can look at them forever.
Do you think that people will have a will for their accounts with all of these? Some people's Fortnite account has to be thousands of dollars worth.
I see people who give away their accounts for money.
Can you put on your will that I get the Genshin account?
What the fuck?
I'm more caught up
of
with the
course
lore.
Mara's gonna get it. What do you mean, Mara played?
Caitlin, you didn't sit on our FaceTimes while she fought and defeated Raiden Shogun, and then
you didn't do the R&R quest with me.
You didn't do the R&R.
You know what? Raiden did. He earned it.
I told Kitty one day we're gonna have to finish that thing.
But I have a problem with this arrangement.
What?
I have a problem with this arrangement because
please share your grievances.
If I were to die, Kenzie would probably get my Fortnite because I got all them girly skins she'd be wanting.
Oh yeah, I'd be like, ha 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 ha.
What do you bring to the table, Mariah?
What do I bring?
Yes, what do you bring?
In terms of digital currency?
Yeah. Microtransactions and video games. Yeah.
Nothing, because I don't participate in that.
Yeah, so I don't understand why you're part of this deal.
Let me think really hard about something you can get that's really limited. You can get my Sonic Battle Adventure 2 game and my
GameCube.
So can I keep your Guitar Hero guitar?
Yeah, you can keep the Guitar Hero guitar.
You can be in here. You can come in. Come through.
Those are very limited.
We read the list wrong.
You're actually in. Those cost a lot of money. You can have both of those.
Yeah, I missed your name on the list. Come right through.
But if I die, you have to beat Battle Sonic Adventure 2 Battle for me.
I promise.
Because I've never beaten it.
Right, just imagine if I died and you got my Genshin account and you're like, damn, I have like almost every 5-star nest.
I'd also be like, damn, I actually have to finish the game.
You know, at that
in
point,
your honor,
though...
If you died, I'd actually have to beat the game.
Dude, at that point, though, yeah. Because, like, you don't have to do all the grinding. Kinsey has done it for
the
past years.
Every game keeps honor, though.
You'd only have to do Natlin, Shneshnaya, and then they're gonna have a Celestia
Please
level.
Say that again.
Shneshnaya. That's what it's called.
She said it's so nerdy.
That's how you say it. What
we don't even know if that's all of it, though, Kinsey. Like, they might have, what's his name, Danslift's story, because he's from, like, that different world. They might have that shit. I have a theory. Maybe all the gacha games that Genshin created are actually secretly entwined somehow, like Hoyoverse games.
Well, they are, Raya. Didn't you know that?
Actually, those worlds. And when that girl came in through and through and through Child into the other dimension, he's actually just in a different Hoyoverse game.
Right. I hate to tell you, but that's not a theory. That's the truth. They're all connected.
That sounds like a
child.
Star rail
child's not here anymore.
No, he's still alive. We don't know. What he did.
Child's not Sorry here anymore.
My traumatic on again off again relationship with Child is still going. Everyone, don't worry.
Spoiler alert. Chat.
Hey, I'll hate them. Might be hot, but Child has a way of keeping you stuck on him.
It's he like does. Right when I think I moved on, Child comes back into the game, and I'm like, damn it.
I used that to, like, literally back. Bully Child Stan so hard. I was like, I don't see what you guys are seeing. Like, you guys are actually need to be institutionalized. And then, like, I don't remember what it was, but there was some sort of cutscene with him, and I was like, wait.
It's giving that boy in high school that, like, you shouldn't fucking like, but you do, and he's, like, a loser, and you're like, I can't tell any of my friends that I have a crush on this boy.
But he has that secret charm.
Yeah. I love the headcanons you come up with, Mariah. They're always, like, the most niche high school tropes. Like, but they're niche enough to be unique, but they're still tropey and, like, cheesy, and I love it.
Mariah and I come up with headcanons. We could do it for hours. And yeah. We're, like, laughing at this fake-ass world where we're like, that'd be funny. That'd be really good.
I love it. So, Kaylin.
Yes, ma'am?
We've changed up your week in honor of what... What event?
I thought about it. I was like, dudes, Hosier time is here, and it's now. It's upon us. Like a storm. It's yes, here, and it's time. So I've had to drop everything, and I was just like, dudes, we got to talk about Hosier, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He literally flew into Ohio in a storm.
He flew into Ohio in a storm. Mm-hmm. So we... How much do we want to diverge? Because obviously if we specify about our storm situation at Hosier, it kind of gives off our location.
About the whole day. Well, don't... I mean, everyone knows we're in the Cleveland area. We've talked about it.
Okay. Anyways.
Here, I'll also share this.
Where do we begin? Do we begin with just, like, where it all began? How Kinsey fell in love with Hosier, listening to it, getting ready in the bathroom mirror in the morning, listening to Sunlight, and I'm like, who is this, like, you know...
Well, no, we
Angel
can't do
singing.
We talk about Hosier often. We have talked about everything, how Kinsey found Hosier, how she shared us with Hosier. So we can just talk about our experience at the concert.
Yeah, let's talk about, why don't we talk about pre concert, so getting ready slash the storm, and then we'll talk about, like, the trek there, you know, kind of settling in, and then we'll talk about the songs. And
yeah, I pulled up the set list just to refresh our memories. I will say that I'm very glad that we got to go to the concert. I know that we talked about it like it was a fever dream for so long, so I'm glad we committed.
Mm-hmm. Kinsey's gone.
I'm back.
Pick up your podcast iPad. You're not about to pay attention to the rest of the podcast.
Actually, I was about to show you guys an image. Wow. Wow, Mariah.
Anyway, I did not get ready for the concert because I didn't have any nice clothes. But you guys got all cute and dolled up.
Thank you. I was just about to ask about our fits. But you know what, Mariah? I love the gender is a social construct shirt paired with the non-binary flag in your hair, because I was like, if you didn't get it the first time, like, if you could see it from the front, you should see it from the back. Like, that's what it was giving. Like, you are...
Yeah, if this person can think that gender is still a social construct, you know, I had to make sure they knew.
Uh-huh. And just in case they didn't know what the flag meant, like, just spell it out for them.
Yeah, you know, it's not
so a credit flag, where credit is due.
I did find my pride flag, however, so, but I'm going to keep it for the next time.
When he pulled the pride flag out, I looked at Mariah. I was like, Mariah, Rachel, show me. Like,
oh my gosh. Like,
okay. So, Kinsey, do we want to talk about our fits?
Yeah, but wait, look at this. Can you guys see this?
What? Hold on. Oh, she. No, I can't.
Wait.
Oh.
Stream. Never mind. I tried sharing something. Maybe I can just share it in, like, an
just
image.
Do it, yeah. Try it again.
No, don't worry. I'm afraid.
And I won't my think. God.
All right. Go to just anime.
I'm here.
Would you put it in, like, the general chat or what?
It's under media, under anime.
Okay, so that is not it's just anime. Oh, Kinsey!
I was getting yelled at this whole time.
Kinsey!
Isn't it funny?
I love it! I'm literally tearing up. It's so cute.
Thank you.
I am actually
sandals and I ruined it and gave them fucking sneakers.
I'm actually crying. That's so cute.
I know, I teared up when she told me last night.
I'm gonna put your smudge emo goth makeup on it at some point, but, you know.
I love it. You did the t-shirt so cute.
Thank you.
That's so funny, too, because originally, like, we kept moving spots, but in the end, I put you back in the middle. Y'all were like, come over here, because y'all had a clearer shot to him, but, like, where I was had a better shot.
But anyways, you were talking about the clothing. So, for our clothes,
oh my gosh.
Did you just want me to say, like, my opinion about my outfit and your outfit?
Yeah, go ahead. Like, talk me through what was your vision for your outfit and, you know, why you chose what you chose.
Well, as you guys know, that I'm a secret emo, right? Yeah, it's all internal. Yeah. I actually
you're like
love...
a color pop emo.
I'm a color pop emo, where it's like, I like black backgrounds with colorful patterns on top. But obviously, Hozier is not rainbow colored like my personality. He's only like dark, moody colors. So I was like, obviously, we're going to stick to those. But the Unreal Unearth album to me is just like so red and purple and like chaos looking. So I have this top, like a velvet top, and it isn't purple, but it has like these beautiful burnt reds and oranges and a lot of brown, which obviously has dirt on that album.
That's what I was getting from it.
It kind of looks like the end of the world apocalyptic kind of color palette, which is why I thought it was perfect. And it's like
the color the sky is when what do they call that day? Judgment Day comes, you know.
Exactly. It looked like Judgment Day. So I wore that, and it's like a crop top with a tie in the back, and then I wore black shorts because it matched it, and I wore my blood red ox Doc Martens, and they have like a nice sheen to them. And I really just wanted to kind of look like still feminine with like moody, edgy colors. My makeup ended up just looking like bright orange hot pop star and not as moody as I'd like it to. But I will say that there is like a way
something
of
about making... that lighting messed us up when we were doing our makeup. Because both of our makeup looked dark.
When we were in the mirrors, we looked hot. Like, we looked like sexy. When we were in the bathroom, too, at Blossom, I was like, damn, I'm serving right now. And I don't feel like I'm serving this way under legitimate light. Mm-hmm. You know?
I feel the same way. Like, mine was a lot more smokier and dark. And, like, in person, it felt like it went up, like, 3 shades. I agree.
No. Tell me about your outfit. Why did you choose your outfit?
Well, first of all, I loved your outfit. I feel the same way. What I liked about it is, you know, you are mentioning a lot of, like, reddish colors in it, but, like, it's, like, the kind of, like, red that you see in copper colors, like, a very, like, intense, like, rusty kind of color, and
yeah, I liked... Word.
Yeah, it definitely felt like something uncovered, unburied, and then there's browns in it, and then little pops of, like, not golds, just, like, it had this, like, aura to it, and I loved the necklace you picked. I think it was perfect. Obviously, I convinced you to wear the black shorts because you needed to have a little bit of functionality because it was a walk, you know, at the specific venue we were at. So I was like, make sure you're comfortable. Hosier's not going to be able to see your shorts, you know. But I loved it. For mine, oh my gosh, it's so funny because as Hosier was even singing his, like, not Unreal Unearthed songs, I was still having a good time. And I remember when we recorded those ones, like, I would say Kinsey was the number one fan, and Ryan and I were, like, up-and-coming fans, but still, I was just, like, you know, not reserved. I was just like, yeah, it's good. And there was just something about Unreal Unearthed that, like, locked and clicked in with my Scorpio side. I just really delve into it, and when I found out more lore about the songs, it felt like literal fucking poetry. So, in preparation, I read Dante's Inferno, and I would update these two, and they're like, yeah, we saw that on Twitter already. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess you don't have to read it. But I felt really attached to a lot of the stories. And it was, like, only, like, the third chapter, I think, like, Canto 3, where they get into Francesca. So, like, really early on, I think they get into my favorite part of the story. Because the deeper they go, the meaner the sinners get, and, like, the worse the interactions get between Dante and the sinners. But, like, there's this really sweet moment where, like, Dante's, like, crying for Francesca because he feels so much pity for them. He's like, you guys fell in love and you're stuck in hell. Like, and Dante in the story literally faints. He's like, it's overwhelming that, you know, they're suffering for all eternity because they're in love. And something about that right off the bat, being in chapter 3 of this book, I already knew I wanted to wear, like, a Francesca shirt. So I got a black t-shirt from Etsy. I'll have to give Mariah a link if y'all want to go check it out, but it was, Gustav Doré is the artist, and I'm pretty sure it was, wood engraving, like, wood engraved ink press, I think that's it, or maybe it was, like, metal, I don't know, but it's this very pretty art of Francesca and Paolo, and you can see the souls in this hurricane of, like, you know, like, the storm sweeping all these souls away, and they're just, like, all, they look like angels, honestly, the way that they're, like, floating up. And in the background, you can see Dante and St. Vincent kind of looking on the scene. And, you know, they're going through a tour of hell. So that's when they got to that circle two of hell for lust. And, oh my gosh, there's just something about, like, well, I'll get into this when we get to that part of the song. But, like, there was just so much, like, that was such a big part of this concert for me. Like, the fact that there was a storm and all that. But we'll get into that in a minute. But... I also wore kind of like a really desaturated pinky beige cargo pant, and then I wore just some hiking boots for comfort, even though I got a blister from them. And then I did really, really emo smudged out eyeliner. I was really excited by my Smashbox eyeliner because it was smudge proof, and yes, bitch, it was. It was awesome. And I made a really cute, intense eyeliner look that I don't normally do because usually eyeliner doesn't stay on like that, but I invested for the concert.
Yeah, I felt like it was super, like, I love how I keep saying the word emo, so I bet anybody who's actually cool and emo is like, these girls are not emo, but to me it looked grungy and emo, and I was like, yeah, I like that blur and that intensity. And if you guys had seen Kaylin's makeup, you would have,
it was a vibe, it was a whole vibe.
She looked like she was stuck on me.
Thank you, guys. I was excited by it.
In the other world, where Kaylin and I are dating. That's the one's good to look.
We were talking about that in the bathroom.
What about me?
Well, no. There's a difference. In another world, you and I were lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're talking about the world with the greyhounds.
There's multiple multiverses, and there's a multiverse out there where Kaylin and I started dating after working at Walgreens.
There is a multiverse where Kinsey and I live in Washington, and we have greyhounds.
Yeah.
That is true.
Oh,
yeah, so we get dressed, we go to this venue. I've never been to Blossom, so this was my first experience, and we walked there. And I think I was just so excited that the walk really wasn't that big of a deal to mm-hmm. me. But I felt sexy and hot and cool, and we were walking there. I was like, this is amazing. And then we got to the event, unless there's anything else you guys wanted to add about that walking bit.
No, I mean, it was nice seeing, like, all the other people dressed up in their little fits that fit the vibe. It was nice seeing bisexual girls with their straight boyfriends.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. It was, like, all of... But you know what's interesting is, you could tell... Okay, this... Oh my god. I already sound so judgmental and so classist. Jesus Christ. This is just because I'm now in my mid, like, heading towards late 20s, where I can tell new money from old money. I could tell who was so young with their, like, either witchy or ethereal style, because it had this TikTok Gen Z kind of, like, spin on it, and I could tell who was, like, legitimately... I don't know, knew the style, or at least, like, lived in the style.
Like, they were actually part of that style, not just for tonight.
Yeah, like, I could tell who had, like, tailored taste or, like, a wardrobe at home, and it's like, oh, yeah, you listen to Hozier, and then I'm like, you listen to Too Sweet. Like, maybe that's really judgmental of me to say.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Jesus. I was like, but it was still a fun time. Like, I wasn't judging them. It was just like, wow, I feel old, like, there's all these kids out here, and they're, like, skibbity excited for this man to sing Too Sweet.
Don't say that.
Kaylin, you're gonna be canceled. Anyways. At the Blossom Pavilion event, sitting down, I didn't know we were that close. And I more so couldn't visualize it when you showed me where our seats were. I don't go to concerts, so I was like, this is gonna be a surprise until I get there. So... yeah, I know he was like a little man in front of us, technically, from how far we were, but I've actually never even been that close to anyone in a concert. I've been even further away. So I was like, oh my God, oh my God. When he came out on the stage, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's so real. I can touch him right here, you know?
That's so exciting. Yeah. I'm so glad. I mean, like, I know Kaylin's never really been to a concert either. So I was glad that you guys were, like, thrilled about, like, where we were sitting and everything. Because, yeah, sometimes, like, you see people at, like, arenas and you're so far back, right?
That is true.
Really excited about it all.
I will say, like, I wouldn't have wanted to be any further back for going, like... And the thing is some people have different, like, standards when it comes to how they want to enjoy their performance. Or they're like, you know what, I'm fine with spending $100 and... listening to him live and just kind of seeing him from a distance or on the TV. But, like, I would say even from where we were sitting, he still felt very much from a distance. Like, he was... I couldn't make out his face. Like, that's how far away he was. But you're right. Some people literally are in stadiums and, like, the star is, like, an ant away. Like,
but I also
so far.
Think it depends on, like, who you're seeing or how much you care about people. Like, for instance, I saw Ed Sheeran and I was in the lawn and I didn't really care to see him. I was there more just to hear him sing live versus, like... Like, when young Mariah wanted to see One Direction, I was like, get me as close as fucking possible to those boys.
That's how I feel about Hozier, for sure. I would go again and spend even more money to sit closer.
I would say the pictures and videos...
tickets when they're actually on sale versus resales, we'll get better spots.
Yeah, the spots people got the pictures and videos from people close to the stage... Like, I was like, dang, that looks like a lot of fun, like, being that close. Like, I don't know. I was watching on the TV, but I was trying as much as possible to keep looking back at him. You know what I mean? It's just, like, once in a while, like, when he'd sing certain parts, I'd look up to see what is, like, you know, how he was performing it, how passionate he was singing it. Yeah, but, like, I tried to look at him because I was like, I can't see like, him, you know?
The fucking like, hit videos.
Yeah, I just wanted to, like... One, I wanted to sit under the pavilion so that we didn't have to, like, fight for seats on the lawn. And then, girl, that downpour on the people behind us, that was That was rough. We were
lucky.
I thought somebody spilled their drink behind me, and I looked behind because I couldn't even hear it, and it looked like just gray. It was so like dense rain. People are building tents out there.
We'll get real close seats. I don't think we'll ever get pit seats because Kinsey won't be able to see, but we'll get as close as we can.
Well, if we find a solution for me to be able to stand, like some little mini stilts, I'll do it.
Or we just get there early.
Kaylin, do you know how much people pay to get those front row seats in the pit?
How much?
A lot of money, because you also have to get the VIP stuff.
Like $1,000?
I mean, probably not that much, but it's possible.
I would drop it. I would, if I had the money, I would.
You also have to get there, like, butt crack, like, probably, like, 2 days in advance.
We camping out, and the whole time we're, like, singing hymns.
How do you get in there when the venue's not even open?
Well, you don't camp out like that, Kaylin. It's more like you get there, like, a day before, and you start lining up, and then when the venue opens, you like, have a mutual respect for the other people that line up early, and whoever got there first is first. But it's still, like, a whole thing, because you have to go in. Like, Dejanay had pit spots. She had to get there before 8 a.m., because they said at 8 a.m. is when you get your wristbands, but there's already bitches there at, like, 8 p.m. the night before. They got there, they got their wristbands, they give everyone's number, and then usually you can go and come back like 2 hours later and they respect the wristbands of whose number's whose. But like you still got to get there like early, like the day before, and you start lining up sometimes depending on how big the artist is.
I'd do it.
And luckily his fans are nice, because when I saw Five Seconds of Summer, once the pit was crazy and people were getting pushed and shoved, and Kinsey's really tiny, and that's why I get nervous about stuff like that.
I love her defensive big brother side. She's like, Kinsey is tiny, but that little girl was tiny who he wished happy birthday to.
It's like when I was in the wave pool and I was like,
literally.
When I thought Kinsey was going to drown in the wave pool.
I was this close though. And when Ryan picked me up, I was like, my savior, dude. And she just
literally grabbed you like a child.
That was so funny. And I couldn't
stop that little girl, that girl who it was her birthday.
I said it looked like Hozier's was fine. I don't know for sure, but I said it looked like his pit was okay. I've just been to really bad pit concerts.
Okay. Before. Yeah, his honestly, like when I was looking from a distance, I'm like, they seem chill.
And then also we'll have to stand for that whole time. There's no sitting. We'll have to stand from...
And no pee breaks. Probably,
I think Dejanay said from like 3 o'clock until the end of the concert.
Wow.
You know what I'd do? I'd start squatting at 3 p.m. I'd squat down there. I'd be looking at calves. I don't even care. I'd be like, I need to preserve my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables that go into getting general admission stuff, and you just don't ever know what you're getting into. So I didn't want us to risk it and then not enjoy ourselves.
The first row of seats so that we're not in the actual pit.
That's what I said. We don't need to be on the pit. Plus, I don't know about you guys. I personally don't like being really close to the stage because you're looking at them like this. But if you take like first that. Row, you're looking eye to eye versus like...
That's what I want. First row.
Mm-hmm. Girl,
just a comfortable spot where we can still sit and see him with our own eyes is nice.
But anyways, yeah. I was in a magical trance with where we were sitting. We were in the center. That very much made me happy. It wasn't too far away. I was like, wow, this is like the closest I've ever been to anybody. And like, I cannot describe when he had came out on stage. Like, obviously that was with the lighting, right? That's when he first came out.
Yeah, they had lighting and like a little fog and a spotlight on him.
Kaylin has the video where I said, he looks like an angel. Because dude, he literally looked ethereal. He didn't even belong on the earth. I was like, what is he doing?
I'm so new to concerts that this is new to me, that some artists shuffle in their best music and don't sing the entire Unreal, Unearth album or whatever they're singing. And so for a while I was listening to the album as if like I was gonna hear it all in that order live. And Mariah was like, well, you're not. And I was like, oh. And so the one thing, though, is I was like, I have been imagining DeSelby part 1 and 2 being the opening song. And it's the perfect ramp. It's like it starts out so soft and it builds up. And it's like some funky ass like crunk Hozier. I love it.
Crunk Hozier compared to depressed Hozier.
But it's still so like raw and just visceral. I love it.
Yeah, and I love the opening being like in his native tongue, and all of that is so very unique. Oh, so I was glad that he was able to do that.
Damn.
Am I embarrassed to say that I've never read the lyrics in English translated?
No, I need to look them up.
I never read them either. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I don't know any of these words.
I thought it was so the first time at the concert. I felt like as if like I was understanding a lost language. I was like, oh, dude. So
I felt like somebody had written a handwritten note. I was like, this is for me.
In English. Let's see.
No, I did enjoy it. I will preface to the listeners, we did not listen to the openers. We don't even know who they were. We were too busy trying to find the funnel cakes.
We were trying to find funnel cakes.
Okay. He says, you are nice and bright, but come like the night, confused and disarray, together transformed. You are nice and bright, but come like the night. The art is transformative. It is a dark art.
Is that how the album starts off?
He also
That's how the outro.
He said, we are transformative. We are art or something like that.
This might be a rough translation I'm reading, I don't think
that's completely accurate. Because that's not what the...
I got you guys.
That's not what Hozier said.
At a Hozier concert on the Hozier TVs.
See, I guess it's only meant for us... It's only meant for us to understand when we're at Hozier.
No, I got you right here. Someone on Reddit.
He enunciates what he wants you to hear.
There you go. Reddit said, it says, you are nice and bright, but come like the night, confused.
She's reading the same one.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's what it said at the concert, apparently.
I remember saying we at some point.
Let's go again.
Okay, let's watch this TikTok video from July 1st. Okay. I don't want to hear it. You arrived to me at nightfall. You and I together. You and I metamorphosized. Yeah, I remember that line.
See?
Although you're bright and light, you arrived to me like nightfall. The art of transformation. So the TikTok said, and that's definitely, I remember the metamorphosis line, because I was like...
The art of transformation. Yeah, ooh. Save that. Send that to me. Rachel, send it to me. Rachel!
Please!
Way to start the set list, and I think it's very fitting for the Unreal Unearth, now knowing the translation and knowing what this album represents.
Well, I got offended at the concert because I was so fucking excited and ready to crunk when I heard him introducing to Selby, and I heard some hick behind me, like a few rows, say, oh god, looks like we're gonna be stuck here for 10 minutes now. And I could have, like, rose from my seat like a fucking, like, demon and, like, kill him.
A demon?
I literally could have.
It ain't even that long. Why was he mad for?
Dude, and it's so good. It's the perfect, like... First of all, DeSelby Part 2 is a great song, like, of just, like, a Hozier hit. Like, you just... But it's even better when you ramp into it with DeSelby Part 1.
Sounds like somebody was the straight boyfriend with the bisexual girlfriend.
Yeah, but if he knew what to sell Part 1 and 2.
He wanted to go, but he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I was so angry.
Yeah, and then I feel like my soul had came out of my body when the concert started, and I was a different person, but...
Me, okay. The fuck too.
I personally, unlike Kinsey, don't know his first album that well. So I am glad that the songs he sang were ones I actually knew from the first album.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Cherry Wine.
I don't know Cherry Wine that well either.
No, but the next songs he sang are from his first album. It's Jackie and Wilson, and then From Eden.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Wasteland Baby. But yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Then you were correct.
I actually knew those ones, despite not knowing his first album that well. But I was mostly taking in your enjoyment, because I was like, Kinsey knows these songs like the back of her hand.
I actually don't know the Unreal Unearth songs that much. I only know, like...
Yeah, but he's saying, like, the ones that are good enough, you know?
The ones that I knew, I was like, yeah, like, what's this one? One
like came Francesca. On the radio.
Yeah, one came on the radio yesterday, well, on my phone, on my car, and I was like, oh, I still haven't even listened to this one that much. So I was like, whoopsies. And that one was not at the concert. Mm-hmm. But he sang Movement, which is, like, my close to second, like, Sunlight. So I was like, okay,
I'll know, you didn't even know this. Did you look at the set list before the show? Because mm-hmm. I every time, like, a song I knew was good was playing, I looked at you and you'd be like, you didn't know he was going to sing it.
Well, I remember this
set list. I only looked. I was told about it a little bit, but I didn't like really go and look at it. Yeah. So,
do you remember, Kinsey, when? By the way, this is not in order. Anyways, Kinsey, do you remember when I started screaming and you looked at me and you're like, "What song is this?" And I was like, "Movement, dude," or it was "Would That I," one of those two.
It was "Would That I." "Would That I" is not one of my favorites, even though I still like it.
I started screaming, and you were like, girl, like, you looked at me.
I was like, this is one of Kaylin's favorite. This is Kaylin's.
What part was it? During Abstract, Mariah was having a moment.
Yeah, sure. I don't remember anything during Abstract. I think my brain
I looked over out. At you. I looked over at Mariah, and I touched her shoulder, and I said, and I'm still glad I met you. And she was, like, losing it, dude.
Yeah, I have a photo of Mariah. Let me see if I can, like... And I can't stop looking at it. Whenever I'm, like, looking at the Hozier photos, I'm just like, Mariah is embodying me in this photo. She has her eyes shut. She's crying. And she has her arms up. Wait, let me just send it to the group chat again.
I was having a whole spiritual moment during that song.
She's having a spiritual moment. Look at this fucking photo, guys. When it sends.
I think I had, like, a death and rebirth during Francesca, if we're talking about our moments.
That's gold. Okay,
look at her. Like, this is the funniest photo ever.
I knew he was gonna sing Abstract, but the second that song hit, this was literally me at the concert. I was like...
Dude.
I couldn't contain... hearing that song live. It was a whole moment. I am bummed that I don't hear Abstract and Unknown back to back, because I think they are supposed to be played back to back, but I won't complain.
I agree.
Dudes.
Didn't
well,
he sing Unknown? He did, and that's not even on this list.
Yeah, it was his encore.
Oh.
To back it up a little bit, I want to talk about, like, the few times, like, he would, like, kind of say something, because I know he said something before Abstract. I think he missed an opportunity to bring up, like, the fact that it rained. Because he was bringing up, like, oh, it's a Tuesday. Yeah, well, I know. But I'm just saying, like, literally, it's, like, see how it shines, but I don't know. I was about to say that, though, Mariah. I was saying to back it up a bit. Let's talk about the storm just a little bit, because it does tie into Francesca a little bit. And for me personally, how I feel is the storm affected people in different ways, like some good, some bad. But at least for me specifically, I didn't care if, like, I think you said along the lines, Mariah, that some of Hozier's equipment wasn't able to be, like, set up, or like, he was a little stressed out about it. It made it a little more special to me. Like, the fact, like, people literally showed up through the storm. They're like, I would do it again. I would go through this fucking rainstorm for you again. Like, I think that it made it a little bit special in a way, you know?
Yeah, I
think Poncho's ready.
I heard that he, like, had, like, dancing trees or something. I don't know. I've never seen clips of him outside of us seeing him, so I knew no difference. I think it was perfectly fitting.
Yeah. I loved it, and he introduced Francesca. He was like, speaking of tornadoes, and he like gets into the lore of Francesca and Paolo being this hurricane in hell, and I don't know, when he sang it, I feel like that was the moment I felt like the most in the concert, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like I was really there.
I also think Francesca is such a submersive song. Like, when I hear that shit in my headphones, because he plays with your fucking ears with that that audio effect that they do with your left and right ear, it's already such a submersive song. So then hearing it with that still same echo effect live in person really puts you in that place and in that setting of hearing the I Would Do It Again and the wound up and the storm of all of it was very fitting for the venue.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I knew once Francesca was going to hit, I was down for the count.
I was down.
Super special. Okay, I know, like, with the rain and stuff, people are like, oh my gosh, it's raining. For me, because it probably doesn't happen a lot. We were in a storm, not just rain. Like, you know.
Yeah, not
we
just a rain, like a whole ass tornado touchdown in a city, like a couple cities from us.
I know, yeah. And I just thought that was, like, so cool. I remember when Kaylin and I went to Lightbox hearing that they had been in a drought, like, literally for so long. And the week that we went for Lightbox, it rained every day, and everybody's like, this is insane. Like, it feels like a spiritual sign to a certain extent. And, like, I felt like Lightbox was super important to me in a turning point of what things to focus on as an artist. That's a whole different conversation. But, like, with it raining at Hozier's concert, like, to me, it just felt like a really special marker. The concert itself was going to be a special marker to me because I don't like concerts. I don't, like the vibe too much. I genuinely feel like I could only go to concerts if it's someone I truly am, like, I love and I'm obsessed with. Like, you know. Like, yeah. If Michael Jackson was live, I would go to a Michael Jackson concert because I'm in love with him, you know? But
yeah.
I agree. There's people who enjoy the going out action of concerts, and then there's people where that's too much for me. Like, the crowd and the noise is too much. But going and seeing someone you love, it's a very submersive experience. Which, speaking of going and seeing someone you love and submersing yourself in it, I want to talk briefly. There were moments people got really, like, just as crunked as us, like, for fucking, like, Take Me to Church, Would That I, like, really big songs, and especially, like, the loudest song there, like, that actually sounded like a stadium concert, was Too Sweet. Like, it was like I could hear the crowd almost as loud as the speakers. Like, it was insane. And it was actually really cool, and I wouldn't have mind, like, I kind of was expecting that for the whole concert, and I remember in the beginning, I didn't feel silly at all. I was here for me. I was here for this concert. But I was almost like, dang, guys, can we be a little bit more crazy for this man? Like,
people were just standing there.
Make some noise for the man who showed up in the store. I was like.
Yeah. I try not to hate on people because I understand that people enjoy media in their own capacity in different ways. But I've been to a lot of concerts where, yeah, people just kind of stand there and they don't be singing along. And I've gotten to the point now where I've gone to concerts by myself. And I'm like, I'm going to scream every single line as loud as I can, as long as I know the words. And so I do remember at one point, Hozier, I was like screaming to fucking probably like Would That I. And I was like, where's everyone? Y'all don't know the words to this one?
Yeah.
Words to this one.
And maybe I'm just autistic about this Unreal Unearth album. But specifically, I noticed his audio. So he was singing... was it the bridge or the chorus? If I were any closer, like that part. And there was this like backup singing that wasn't happening from the backup singers, and it was absent. So I decided, I was like, instead of singing along, I want to sing that part. So I was singing that, and I was listening around, no one else was, and I was like, y'all, this would sound so cool as a crowd if we could organize and sing the parts that he's not singing, which I think is intentional from him. And Hozier, if you hear this, just keep it up. I'll keep singing as loud as I can from the back.
The whole, like, you sing type of shit. Like, when Niall Horan told me you sing, I sang, bro. I think it's something that's not as popular in Western concerts. Because when I went to that K-pop concert, everyone knew, like, which part the fans chanted at, which parts the fans sang at. And I think we need to normalize having fan chants at Western media concerts.
I disagree with... specifically this song and this artist, because the thing about Hozier is, like, his music is already worthy of it being chanted. It's just, we need to preach it. I need to go around door to door.
Background vocals that you're saying that no one was singing, we should normalize people like that. You're right, the audience should sing that back, and it would sound so cool.
It would. And so
I was so happy when everybody was singing Too Sweet. I was like, oh my god.
Like, next time he comes around, I literally will be taking to Twitter or passing flyers out. Like, guys, during DeSelby part 2, make sure you sing this part. Gotcha. Okay.
Get on, like, Twitter. Get on Stan Twitter, Kaylin. Make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Because they already do that during, which one is it? That's not tonight. It's Would That I, right? Yeah, Would That I. Yeah, they already do that.
Yeah.
Like, they let him have his moment and they sing the background. It sounds so good. And that's what I'm just saying. It's like, maybe I'm the only one here with my two besties that are that intense about Unreal Unearthed, because I came here for Unreal Unearthed especially because it's my personal favorite, and nobody just, besides Too Sweet, and when I heard how loud people got for Too Sweet, I wanted to look around like, y'all are all fake TikTokers.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Even during Abstract, when he's fucking yelling the See How It Shines, I felt a little silly, but I was screaming as loud as I could.
Yeah. I gotta give credit, though, three rows back, whoever that crowd was, they were crazy, especially about Wasteland Baby.
When Almost came on, they were like, oh, here we go. That guy behind us literally was like, here we go. Here we go.
He started like...
That was us in another universe. He
switched up the back of the end of the song, and that guy behind us was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I was like, yeah, yeah. I needed them to come by us.
Literally.
I wish they would have been closer to us, because I feel like we would have been, like, buddies.
You guys are the trio, three rows back, and I turned around when you accidentally sang So Move Me, Baby, Too Soon, and I turned around and said, I sang it too soon, and he said, that's embarrassing, because we both said, so move me, and Hozier was not singing that part. We were like, ah, oh no, and we were like,
I heard that part happened. He said, damn.
Damn. If that was you, like, shout out on our Instagram or something.
Shout out to you. Come to the next Hozier concert with us when he's close by again, and we will make it.
We will get pit seats, and we'll fucking get crunk for him, and like, he'll be like, damn, y'all
Clevelanders. Rosier.
That's what I was thinking, and people are like, I feel like some people are like, this is the Too Sweet guy, let's go check it out, let's get something to do, and they're like I was looking around, and there were like some of those, like, they didn't look like they were having fun, like their faces looked like they were bored. I was like, you don't know the gospel yet, raise your hands.
No.
Raise your hands. No. And get this energy, get these good vibes.
God. You need saved.
I hear it is like someone with Hozier and where he got his popularity, where people might know his new music and not his older music or something, because he just got his first number one. So people are probably like, oh, Too Sweet, what is that from? Hozier, Unreal Unearthed. Oh, let me listen to Unreal Unearthed. And unfortunately, a lot of his songs don't sound like Too Sweet. And also, if they only know Unreal Unearthed and they don't know it to that depth or this previous albums, they're not going to think he's like
that.
They
don't know him the way I know him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you've had time to prepare. Anyways, I binged Unreal Unearthed so fast.
Inferno. She's read Dante's Inferno, memorized Unreal Unearthed from front to back. She's like, you had time to prepare. Get out of my face.
Just know him as the Take Me to Church guy, and then the younger generation just knows him as the Too Sweet guy.
Did you guys see that interview where this, like, really, like, I don't know, she looked like some Gen Alpha, like, or Gen Z interviewer, like, I don't know, journalist. She asked him, she said, so how does it feel to not be a one-hit wonder? Isn't that great? And he literally got so offended. He's like, I guess. Like, he was literally, like,
people appalled. Low-key offend that man all the time in interviews.
Serious?
Yes.
Oh my god. I think I'd start crying as a fan next to him that she'd say that to him.
Like, I'm over here... I've been hearing feedback. Somebody needs to fix that. I'm over here deeply, like, connecting with songs, like, outside of Take Me to Church, outside of Too Sweet. Like, Too Sweet at this point, it's gotten to that popularity where it's overplayed. I'm not sick of it. It's an amazing song. It's just as poetic as the rest of his, but it's just overplayed because it's a number one hit right now. I'm like, there's so many other songs that are just as poetic or just, like, to me, even sound like it should be a hit. And it's like, people just don't, I don't know. They don't get it.
I'm trying to look it up.
Yeah, look up Rude Interviewer.
I mean, unfortunately, a lot of, like, artists, they have to put out, like, what I consider a radio hit. So Too Sweet is a radio hit, meaning the general population would enjoy it. But once you get past that radio pop, like, the music gets so much more intricate. I mean, I've been saying that even since, like, I was a kid listening to Justin Bieber. Like, if you can get by one time, the rest of the album's amazing. But obviously one time is what the general population is just going to get stuck in their head, that they will listen to him again without elaborating.
Too Sweet was still a really good song. Like, it was,
but if you look deeper past that, the other songs are so much more elaborate lyrically.
Well, no. Yeah, so I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that it irritates me that people who maybe just like Hozier for Too Sweet, because it's a very conceptually easy song to understand, have the audacity to say that he's a one-hit wonder when
he's the Take Me to Church guy.
Yeah, like, you don't have to be so incredibly popular every single person likes your music. Like, some people don't have the bandwidth to understand quality music and art, okay? Like, I just hate this idea that people think that whatever's popular has to be good, and that's not always the truth. And obviously, I think Hozier is incredibly popular. He has a huge fan base. He just does, you know, not all of his songs align with mainstream pop, because he's not a pop artist, you know? So...
Yeah, for example, funny how true colors shine in darkness and in secrecy. If there were scarlet flags, they washed out in the mind of me. Where a blinding light shone on you every night. Where you were frozen, held frozen like an angel to me. Like, oh my god, y'all. Like, y'all don't even know.
You're saying, like, I was so obsessed with you, I had my own definition and view of you. Then that's why I was unable to see all of the things that weren't working with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. And in darkness and in secrecy, like, how they shine brightest in that. Like, ugh, getting chill bumps right now. Ugh. And there's so many other good examples. Like, that's just one off the top of my head. But it's, like, even in Too Sweet, like, the whole, like, you know, you're sweet as a grape, but if you could sit in a barrel, like, you need time to wise and... live life the way I've lived life, because, you know, he's getting older. That's the reality. Like, he's not here for, you know, maybe some naive person. He's like, you need to grow wiser and get a bolder taste to you because you're too sweet. Like,
this is why people think that Hozier is a fake man. They're like, he can't be that good of a feminist with the lyrics he writes.
Yeah. While, like, literally, I don't know, there's so many, like, especially male artists, the way that they write women is very objectified and so, like, bitches and hoes. Like, and the way that he writes about women is very much, like, as they should, these little goddesses, these goddess creatures that have, like, crossed the earth. And when he does write his spicier songs, they're still tasteful.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Ken. I'll cut this part, but there's, like, a whole lot of discord of people who are, like, Hozier can't be that nice of a person that he is, like, writing the lyrics he is, like, there's no way he's, like, I've talked to Kinsey about it, they're, like, there's no way he's, like, this hyper-feminist, it's all a ploy or whatever, I can't remember the Discord because I don't pay attention, but...
That because I think he's a great person.
They're, like, well, why are his relationships not working then if he's such a great gentleman?
Yeah, but that's so dumb because, like,
yeah,
oh my god.
It's just some Discord.
I don't think you need to cut it, actually, I mean...
No, I'll cut it.
I don't think you need to. Anyways, gosh.
Satirizing. I don't think you need to cut it, actually.
There's actually a lot of people who talk about this as of lately. I don't know what he did specifically that sparked this.
Everyone's
going to
have a problem with everyone.
Yeah, yeah, and I just don't think it fits the conversation we're talking about. That's why I'll cut it. So overall, we can talk about Caitlyn has a newfound love for Nina Cried's Power after hearing it live.
I said that I see why it's necessary for on the set list. The conversation was, I was like, dang, there's not as many Unreal and Earth songs on here as there are from other albums. So I went through and I cut a few songs and I cut that one only because, like, I have a bop list and, like, that one, Kinsey, it's a good song. I cannot, like, I can like the song without
bop. It's got some deeper roots in it.
Yeah, it's got
it. It has to stay.
Yeah, I see why it has to stay now, but originally Mariah roasted me because she said it's necessary, and I see why it's necessary now. It's just originally, I was like, dude, this Unreal on Earth tour, I want more Unreal on Earth. Give me the Selby part 1 and 2.
It's selfishness, I get it.
Talk about his speech.
Okay, shut up.
No, I'm kidding.
Like, I just want freedom in the world. Caitlyn's like, give me Dish Shelby.
Dish Shelby.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Can I be honest? I think I need to, like, when we talked about Nina Cry Power, that was when I was first listening to Hozier, and there was already so much deep diving and reading I had to do. And I remember you guys talking about it. I don't think I really read or understood the song, like, really on a deep level.
I will never forget when we first talked about Hozier, Caitlyn's opening line, because the album starts with Nina Cried Power, was, yeah, I actually kind of relate to it, like, when he says, it's not the waking, it's the rising. Like, you're right, I can get up, but I just can't get out of bed in the morning. And me and Kinsey both were like,
No, I was the Roblox head. I was like, I was like, what?
I will never forget that.
But also, I was like, me too, but that's not what that's about.
I still don't understand the lyrics. Like, maybe it's just need
it. Like, it's not being self-aware of the problems in the world. It's about actively getting up and doing
something. Yeah. Oh, it's not the waking, it's the rising.
So having him, before he sang that song and give that speech about, like, black people, Ireland.
Oh, no, I got it, dude. He put it right in my face. I got it after he said that.
I know. But I'm saying the lyrics. I was talking for the listeners.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought you were talking at me. Continue.
Hearing him get up and use that moment on stage to talk about, like, minorities, black people, the civil rights movements, and not only in America, but in Ireland, gay people, and then go into Palestine, which is a huge thing. Like, shout out to Hozier for that. Even though a hella people walked out before this encore happened, which was wild. I think it's very important to see artists do something like that and using time that he could have been performing or promoting himself or doing anything else that didn't have to do with himself. It was really nice, and I think that song is so fitting, and that's why it has to, I think, I would be shocked if he removed that song from his set list ever. Like, even hearing it back-to-back after Take Me to Church and then hearing Need to Cry Power, like, I don't think he'd ever remove that at this rate.
Yeah, it has to stay. I completely agree. I just need to go and understand the lyrics. Like, I'm talking about not the choruses and not the intro. I'm saying the whole song, because that's how I get... Some of Hozier's songs are on a level of poetry or, like... just symbolism, or it's deep, that unless I research it, like, my brain just will not comprehend it. I have to do that even with other popular artists, not just him. Like, if they are singing too fast, or, you know, there's, like, some sort of analogy, I have to look it up. I'm like, what are they talking about? What does this mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes I still miss something.
You know what? I just realized, Mariah. Hozier's a Pisces sun and Mercury, and my eighth house is Pisces. So when he literally speaks, he speaks to, like, the deepest parts of my eighth house. That's probably why I'm all like, Hozier.
Yeah, well, my seventh house is in Pisces, so I think, like, we were, like, more destined. I don't know what to tell you.
I was like, you were meant to, like, be married.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. All
right.
He's a great dude. That's why I think you enjoy, like, some of his, like, more in-depth songs about, like, intensity love, like sunflower, god damn it, sunlight and stuff like that. And if you actually fully sat down and listened to Unreal and Earth, like, there's certain ones I think would really speak to rock, like Give Me Nobody and Sing, because I want to feel that type of love. Thanks, Hozier.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I tweet about once every 3 months. I didn't know Hozier invented love. Like, he did though. Anyways, that's like the end of the podcast.
No, it's not. I just want to say one more thing about Unknown. That shit rocked my world, just like almost as hard as Francesca. But I feel like there was one moment where I tripped myself up during Unknown where I was trying to record and it didn't work, and that freaked me out. But like, had I just maybe enjoyed myself in the moment, like, it would have done it just as much.
Yeah, he seemed like...
I wasn't ready. Caleb was like, Mariah, record. And I was like,
He seemed like he had some malice in his words, in the sense of, like, clearly somebody had to have made him feel that way when writing that song. Season
had started. I bet you he was thinking about them.
Oh. Yeah. Mariah puts on her glasses. Yeah.
It's such a good song. It really is. And,
I'll send you my video, Caitlin. I forgot to send
it. Yeah. Also, the lore, guys... Last Circle of Hell, everybody's frozen, and he makes multiple things about like ice and like freezing and walking across lakes of fire, which, you know, literally Dante walked across a lake of boiling blood that sinners were boiling in to get to the bottom. Circle of Hell, shit like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I liked you and Francesca crazy. when the effects on the screen were changing and we were going underground.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool. Well, guys,
it's over. Dean is scratching at my door.
Okay. We'll talk next week with whatever Kinsey makes us watch.
Surprise as always. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys. I'm in a band.
Bye.
Bye. I love you, Mariah. I'm going to be hopping off too because...